Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
Hello and welcome. This is episode 301 of the MTG Pro Tutor Podcast, and I'm pretty excited for today's guest because he has the same name as my son. How cool is that? Absolutely love it. So I do want to say before we dive into today's interview that this show is brought to you by Paragon City Games. Over at ParagonCityGames.com, you can check them out and see what they have going on. Absolutely love what they do for the Magic community. If you're in Utah, you should go play there. If not, then you should check out their website. And a huge thank you to them because they do the prize support for our sealed leagues and our monthly patron giveaways. Speaking of the sealed league, it is in full swing right now. We had signups in the M19 Prodigy Sealed League is going on right now. We are in the general rounds right now. We do 9 rounds and then we do a cut to top 8. And so we are playing those out, and it's a lot of fun to interact with you Prodigies and to play Magic, and it's just a lot of fun. So thank you to all those who joined, and if you didn't join this time, I hope that you do next time. Other than that, I want to say thank you to the patrons. You make this possible, and without you, we wouldn't be able to have a show. And now that we are here at the beginning of September, I want to highlight our patron exclusive giveaways. So at the beginning of each month, we pick a patron and they win a Magic related prize. Normally we do a bundle of whatever Magic set is current, but because the Commander 2018 set recently came out, the winner this month will get a Commander 2018 deck of their choice. So that is pretty cool. And now without further ado, let me announce the winner. Congratulations to Brooke Papow. Brooke, congratulations. You're going to get a Commander 2018 deck of your choice. So we're going to reach out to you and just let us know which one you want and we'll send that your way. No problem. So congratulations, Brooke, and thank you so much for your support of the MTG Pro Tutor Podcast. Thank you so much for being a patron. And Prodigies out there, if you want to become a patron, you go to mtgpro2.com/Patreon, where you can learn more about that. And just know that everybody in the Bed of Plants level or higher gets entered into our monthly drawing, where you win Magic-related prizes provided by Paragon City Games. So thank you again, Brooke. Really appreciate your support. Now, last weekend, there were a couple of Grand Prix, and this weekend we have GP Detroit. So, of course, I want to say good luck to everybody going out to GP Detroit. And with that, I want to bring in our guests because I know that he has some amazing insights to share with you about his journey and Magic and just how we can be better as players. So let's kick that off now. What's up, everybody? I'm super pumped to have our guest with us today. Our guest is the champion of Grand Prix Orlando 2018, coming to us from Houston, Texas. Prodigies near and far. Let's welcome the one, the only, Gabriel Hoglar. Gabriel, how you doing today?
Good, man. Very good. How about you?
Excellent. Fantastic. Thank you. Are you ready to delve into your mind and share with the audience tips and tricks to take the game to the next level?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Now, Prodigies out there, you want to connect with Gabriel, you can find him on Twitter at Gabriel Hoglar. And that is where you can connect. You can say thanks for being on the show, ask him a question, but he is on the Twitter. So, Gabriel, what are you doing out there in Houston, Texas? We love to learn about our guests outside of Magic before we do the whole Magic thing. So, are you working, going to school? What's going on?
Yeah, right now I'm just bartending. Cool. Also, going back to school starting this semester. And then just, you know, traveling, playing Magic, same old, same old.
Nice. What are you going to study?
I'm studying business right now. Nice. I'm going to minor in restaurant management.
Very cool. My degree is in business as well. So near and dear to my heart. That's good stuff right there. So out there doing school and then bartending, pretty cool, and doing the Magic thing. So that's a big deal. When you, obviously you're competitive in Magic. Have you done competitive anything else like sports or other games or...
Honestly, no, I haven't. I guess that's not true. When I was in high school, I was in a band, mm-hmm. like a band, and we played all shows all over Houston. You know, I was into music for a very long time.
That's cool. So you had that dedication was there, and then now you have a similar dedication. So good exactly. stuff. So I wonder where your gaming bug came from. Did you grow up in a gaming family, or was it friends, or...
It's actually crazy. For a while I worked at a movie theater, mm-hmm. And that's where I picked it all up. Was whether it be League of Legends or Magic the Gathering or anything that I played. It was just my buddies that I worked at the movie theater. They showed it to me and they taught me how to play and now one of them's still on my team, and that we travel all the time playing Magic and stuff. You know, they're the guys that picked it up for me.
Well, that's, I mean, perfect segue. We'd love to hear that story. We want to be there with you. So take us to the time and tell us of the first time you ever saw or played with Magic cards.
Okay, so it goes back like 4 or 5 years ago. I'm basically working at this movie theater. And one day I didn't have anything to do. And my friend Joseph Tatum, he basically said, "Hey, do you want to come play this game Magic with us?" And I was honestly like on the fence. I was like, "I mean, sure, you know, whatever. I've got nothing else to do. I'll try it out." So we go to the shop and we play. And as we're playing, I'm looking at these cards and I'm thinking, wait, I've played this before. And then it takes me back years ago when I was maybe like 10, 11 years old. I had a best friend. Her name was Hanail. And one day I was waiting for her to come home from whatever she was doing with her dad. And her dad busted out some Magic cards. And and that was the first time I'd ever saw Magic. But of course, I didn't realize it till, you know, years later. But it was crazy. And he taught me how to play when I was like 11 years old. But they showed me it again at the movie, or my friends from the movie theater. And that was when I loved it. And, you know, for a while, I started off just drafting, which if you're just starting to play Magic, I highly recommend just start drafting, because that's like the easiest way to get into it, the easiest way to learn all the mechanics and everything, and how to play the game. And then slowly we just started going to, you know, small tournaments. I never took it anything seriously until like not very, maybe like a year ago, maybe 2 years. But all that time I would just go to GPs and, you know, just play. Sometimes I would even just play side events, you know, like that. But now it's more serious.
Cool, man. That's really cool. So what would you consider your first set?
My first set was M13.
Okay.
That was definitely my first set.
Is that the set that your friend's dad taught you on, or that your friends brought you
on?
Oh,
the set that my friend's dad taught me on, well, that was a long time ago. I honestly have all I remember, to be honest, is us playing, and I remember I was casting Ravenous Rats. That's all I remember.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. So came in for reals on M13, and then do you have a favorite set since then?
Since then, I would have to say my favorite set was probably Return to Ravnica. I mean, that was just a great set. And that was shortly after M13.
And then along the same lines, what's one of your favorite cards?
My favorite card is Thragtusk, by far.
Excellent. What is that? What does it do? And why do you like it?
All right. So that's going to be a 5-mana green creature, 5/3. Enters the battlefield, gains 5 life. And when it leaves the battlefield, for any reason, not necessarily dies or anything, you get a 3/3 beast. The card is just the epitome of value. Nothing more valuable than a Thragtusk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're going to gain 5 life. You're going to get that 3/3 no matter what. And it's just value.
And you're going to blink the heck out of him.
Yeah. With Restoration Angel or whatever.
Good stuff. Yeah. I like that card too. Well, that's cool, man. We love hearing your story and your first and your favorites and kind of get to know you, you know, better. And you did mention that time where you started becoming more competitive with Magic, started taking it more seriously. When you got to that point, what was an early struggle that you faced that you eventually overcame?
An early struggle that I faced when I eventually overcame is I always felt a need to kind of like brew, for lack of a better word. And I think brewing is important, but I always wanted to try out cards that weren't, you know, as competitive as, you know, I thought they were. And it was kind of hard to like focus and be like, maybe I shouldn't play this card. Maybe I should play something that, even though it's less fun, is a little bit better. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that was probably the hardest thing for me. Also another hard thing was to, travel, like, finding the time to like take off and like go to GPs and stuff like that. I've slowly been able to like work around my schedule and figure stuff out and been able to do that a lot better.
Yeah. That struggle between, like you said, like you want to brew and you want to keep those creative juices flowing, stuff like that. But then you also want to play, you know, stuff that is kind of proven to be competitive and whatnot. And there is that balance there. And you know, there's room for both. You know, you can do the brewing and fun stuff in a different format or not at your competitive events or FNM or something like that, but still be able to, you know, work off of and get benefit from the collective wisdom of
exactly
the machine, you know?
So and I cool. think it's really important to find that balance, like to be able to know when you see a card that even though you love it, you can't use it. But if someone brings you a strategy that you might think is kind of crazy, you know, still give it a shot and try it out, you know?
That's cool. So how did you find that balance?
You know, it just took me a lot of advice from very good friends a lot of time. I can remember my first FNM. I showed my buddy Joey, who brought me, this vanilla creature, and I was just like, I should be playing this card. You know, it was like a 5-mana 4/6 or something like that, vanilla. I don't remember. Yeah. And I was like, I need to be playing this card. And he was just like, I'm telling you, man, the card's not that great. And I just remember thinking, like, he's crazy. This card is insane, you know?
That's awesome. And then you played it and learned that your buddy might have been a little bit right.
Yeah, I got Phyrexian Obliterator.
There you go. That's cool, man. Sweet. So yeah, so that's the, you know, early challenge, and several, you know, prodigies are in the same boat facing that, and it's fun to hear, you know, how different people approach that. And obviously on your journey, you know, you've had ups and downs leading up to your most recent success, which we're going to get to in a minute. But on your journey, what would you say has been your worst Magic moment, or one of your lows, and what did you learn from that experience?
All right, let's think. So probably my worst Magic experience has just been, I had like a string of tournaments, like, you know, SCG opens and GPs, where I just couldn't even day two. You know, a lot of them were modern, which is a tougher format. And I would say that basically what I learned from that is to just hang in there. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, this is a hobby and I love doing it. You know what I mean? And so, like, even though I'm not doing as great as I could be, you just got to hang in there, you know, and keep going. Don't ever just stop it and get frustrated and quit. You know what I mean? Because you never know. Then maybe, you know, a few months later, you'll win a GP, you know?
Yeah. So what kept you going through that hard stretch, you know, because you don't know that there was a GP win or top eight at the end of the tunnel. And so when you're in the middle of it, it's like, oh my gosh, this sucks. And so what kept you going in the middle?
My friends, man. That's the easiest question you've ever asked me. My friends. They kept me going the entire time. Always like, you know, if I do terrible, what they'll do is they'll make fun of me, you know, and I know that they're joking and they'll make me laugh. And I know at the end, everything's going to be good. And I'm just getting ready for that next GP.
Cool. Very cool. So surround yourself with good people, you know, like, and you find them at your game store, you find them going to other events and just connecting and making friends. And that's
absolutely
cool. Very cool. So the flip side are our highs. What would you say is your proudest Magic moment?
Besides the winning the GP, I'd say that my proudest Magic moment was my first Pro Tour was Pro Tour Hour of Devastation. And I remember I got qualified for that Pro Tour via the RPTQ. Top four.
Nice.
And Hour of Devastation was in Japan. So Wizards obviously flew me out there. And being able to just, you know, get a free flight to Japan like that, you know, which is a country I've always wanted to visit, was just, that was phenomenal.
That's cool. Man, that is really, really cool. Going to your first Pro Tour, and then also you mentioned winning a Grand Prix. How cool is that? How long ago was that first Pro Tour of yours?
That was Hour of Devastation.
Oh, so you just said that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So that was like not too long ago.
That's very cool. Man, that's pretty neat. Off the RPTQ system, that's neat. So so that means you're active in the local scene and going PPTQs and making it happen.
Oh yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
So then, touching on the GP win most recently at Orlando, that was a standard event. We would love to, you know, build up to that. We'd love to kind of go back to before the Grand Prix and talk about what deck you played, how you decided to play that deck, how far in advance, how much practice. So let's talk about the pre-GP stuff and kind of walk us through that process.
Right. So basically before the GP, I had played an RPTQ. It was the team one, right? It was Unified Standard. And I was on Blue White Approach, very similar to the deck that I played at the GP. And I remember I played a string of black red. Every single round I played in Swiss was black red. I played it like 6 times in Swiss, every single time. And I had a unique sideboarding plan for black red, but I beat it every single time. And so then I just started playing online, and every time I'd play black red, I would just crush it, you know? And then, like, even at the GP, day two, which was 7 rounds, I drew the last 2 rounds. So for 5 rounds straight, I played nothing but black red.
Wow.
And again, yeah, I just beat it every single time. So I obviously the deck had like great black red matchup for me at least. So that's all it has. And I remember I was going to play Gregory Orange's list from the Pro Tour. Mm-hmm. But my buddy Mac, he convinced me that he just said that the approach is just such a good game one plan. And, you know, I thought about it for a while, and I'd already had a lot of testing with it from the RPTQ and from online and stuff like that. And I was just agreed with him. So I just stuck with the approach plan, and it actually worked out pretty well.
Nice, man. That's so cool. So what part of your training or play testing, like ahead of the GP, what part of that paid off the most? What was the most useful thing you did?
let's see. So probably the most useful thing I did was just my online testing. Like testing on MTGO is just so helpful because you're able to just do it whenever, wherever. I mean, if as long as you have access to a computer, you can test on MTGO, you know. Sometimes I'll go to Panera and get lunch or Starbucks or whatever and just bring my laptop and just play like a league or two, you know, or something like that. And that's probably the most helpful stuff I can get.
And so what was helpful about that?
Just, you know, being able to practice, you know, like they say, practice makes perfect. And you can play a league with a deck, make changes to said deck, play another league, see how the changes work. Like I remember for a while I wanted to play a card called Pull from Tomorrow, and I thought it would be like a good one up in the deck. After a while I just realized it was way, and the testing online was able to tell me that it was way worse than bad, if that makes sense. Like the times where it were good were way less than the times where it was bad.
Yeah. Okay, that's so neat. And being able to carve that time out and do that and identify that, I think is really key. And obviously, you know, paid off for you. So that's really cool that you're able to do that. So that's something that everybody can do. You know, everyone can fire up a online account and play and practice and get some reps in before any event that they go to, right?
Absolutely.
Cool. And then when you were in the, you know, in the Grand Prix, any highlights from day one or day two that particularly stand out, that some stories you'd like to share?
Yeah. So, basically, so I'm in the Grand Prix. I had two buys. So after my two buys, I played round three, won round three. And then round four, I actually played against Gregory Orange. Yeah, the guy who was on the team who won the last Pro Tour. And he was on Blue Eye Control. He was on his list, obviously. And so I played him, and he was actually my one loss through the whole tournament. And I'm playing him, and after he beat me, he was just like, so, you know, what made you decide to go with Approach? And I was like, I mean, he beat me pretty bad. And I just remember thinking like, oh, geez, I don't, you know, like, what am I supposed to say? And I just said like, well, you know, I just thought I had like a good game one plan, you know, and that was it. It was just funny that my only loss was to Gregory Orange, you know?
Yeah, that's so funny. Well, I was going to play your list, but then my buddy, you see.
Exactly. I wasn't going to go through all that. I'm like,
but good job, man. Keep it up.
Yeah.
I just think that I know better than you, even though you just won. No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
But that's cool. So playing him, so this is interesting. Did you feel like you had a chance, or was it pretty dominating? Do you feel like you were intimidated or like starstruck or whatever? Like, what was it like sitting down for somebody, you know, who, I mean, just dominated Pro Tour?
You know, honestly, it was, it's a little intimidating. Mm-hmm. Like it is, you know, I'm playing against a very good player, obviously, you know what I mean? And, you know, I think I even made a misplay during that game, which cost me a game. And, I don't know for sure if it was up to the nerves or not that made me do that, or maybe just, you know, I was distracted by who I was playing against.
Yeah.
But I did have to take a second afterwards to like stop and be like, all right, you know, just blow it off. You know, you're good. Keep going.
Yeah. I mean, I know that's like, I've sat across, you know, the table from, you know, at a GP of, you know, someone who's been on the Pro Tour, done well, or that I, you know, that I really respect. Andrew Brown. So I played Andrew Brown one time, and now he works for Wizards and all this stuff.
Right.
Because I knew him when he worked at a shop down in Santa Monica. Anyways, so when I sat across the table from him, like, I'm like, man, like, okay, so I kind of know this guy. So like, we're like acquaintances or whatever. But then on top of that, I know that he's like super good. And so it's that whole mentality thing. And then I'm like, okay, but he's just a player. Like,
exactly.
I'm like, you know, I have just as much a chance as he does. Like, we can do this. And we were playing, this was back, I was playing a black, white, like Planeswalker build, and he was playing some band thing or whatever. Anyways,
yeah,
this was a while ago, but I lost to that archetype like all day at that GP, and but sitting across the table from somebody big, you know, for, you know, plebes like me, I still have to be like, okay, like, they're just people, they're just playing Magic, they're gonna shuffle and draw just like me, like, you know. And so you still just kind of give it your best, even though you know that the person ahead of you, in front of you, has, you know, has a record as long as your arm, you know. So
that's exactly right.
All right, but that's cool that you're, you know, to play and then, you know, chat a little bit afterwards, and then, you know, clear your head afterwards and then carry on with your day. That's good. That's really
absolutely
good. Cool.
It's important.
Yeah, for sure. Sweet. So, so you did that, and then what did you know that you made it into the top eight?
Okay. So let's see. I remember being X and one with two rounds left, and I had just finished, I guess that would make it round 13. Yeah. I just finished round 13, and I remember that's when they post standings. So I took a quick snap of standings, looked it over for like a second. You know, I didn't have very much time. And I said to myself, you know what? I think I'm locked for top eight. Like I just thought about it. And so then I remember I sat down across my opponent from round 14. I don't remember his name, but he also made top eight, obviously. And he said, would you like to draw? And I said, yes. Pretty sure that I was in top eight, but I was a little skeptical still. Then as soon as I said yes, and we signed the match slip with a draw, I went and sat with my buddies and we just busted out a piece of paper and just started doing math. Okay. And we did all this math and we looked at all the things and we figured it out and I was locked for top eight and we were pretty stoked.
That's pretty cool. So yeah. Then what'd you do for round 15?
For round 15, I drew with the second place, the guy you talked to yesterday. What was his name again?
Cooper?
Cooper, yes. I drew with Cooper.
Kyle Cooper?
Kyle Cooper, yes. I drew with Kyle. And and that was it. And then I just kept doing math over and over again because it just made me feel
just
better.
Just make sure. Right on. All right. So you knew at that point, then you drew the last two rounds. That must be nice. And then so now you're in the top. So you know you made top eight. You know you get the Pro Tour invite. That's super cool. You still have the top eight to play. So tell us about that. Like any highlights from there or what was that like?
So the top eight to play. So the first run of top eight, I played against Black Green Snake. The Constrictor deck. Mm-hmm. And that's a really good matchup for me. You know what I mean? Like they're playing it, like they're on a mid-range thing and I'm on a control. So all my like board wipes are really, really good against them. And you know, it's easy for me to gain value. It's a very, very good matchup. Even when they bring in duresses and stuff like that, it gives them a chance, but it's still a tough matchup for them. So going into top eight, I felt good because you get to see the deck list. You know, as soon as I looked at that black green deck list, I was like, oh, this should be a win. You know, I mean, obviously you still got to play tight. So mm-hmm. play right. You know, but and he was a really good player too. So that made it, you know, that definitely made me like more cautious about my plays. And so I locked up that win. Then going into the next round of top eight was a really bad matchup. I was playing against the guy that I drew in with in round 14. He was playing Grixis mid-range, which is a tough matchup, you know, and he actually game one, I think I'm able to like take and then hope I can steal a game two or three, but he actually got me game one and it was crazy. So game two and three, I think things just didn't really align for him. You know, when you're playing Grixis control against blue white, you want to have like a turn two Glintsleeve Stifener or a turn two, the enchantment that turns into a land that lets you draw mm-hmm. a bunch of cards. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
But he just didn't have those on turn two. And, I was able to steal out two more wins. It was pretty crazy. Oof. With Magic, you got to have a little bit of luck as well as some skill, you know, it all kind of Argo's blood fast is what I was thinking about. Okay. Yeah. And then, in the finals against Cooper, he was playing the mono red, Flame of Kaln deck in game one. He was in the play. And he actually got me down to one life before I was able to stabilize and ult a Teferi and win. And then game two and three, the Regal Caracals came out and I was able to steal a win that game too.
Wow. Oh, that's so exciting. So what does it mean to you? What does it feel like to be a champion and the winner of a Grand Prix?
You know, it's pretty cool, man. Like, for a second I was like, you know, all my teammates and my friends were videotaping me throughout the whole team, taking pictures of me and stuff. And, so my girlfriend found out that way. And so she calls me at one point. And she's like, did you really just win? Like, did you win the whole Grand Prix? And I'm like, yeah. And she's just like, why aren't you more excited? And I'm just like, honestly, it's just super surreal. And I'm still kind of taking it all in, you know, yeah. I was just like, I cannot believe I just won a GP. You know, it's really crazy. You know what I mean? Man,
that's so cool. Yeah. And then, you're off to Atlanta with this invite. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Nice, I'll be in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Man, how many points did you get? Pro points did you get?
I got 8 points for that. So now I'm up to like 16, but I think some of them are going to go away pretty soon.
Oh, because the whole Rolling Thunder thing. Cool.
Yeah.
But then you'll get three for showing up at the Pro Tours. That puts you back at 11. So you're still bronze. That's cool.
Yeah. I think when I go to the Pro Tour, I'll have at least 13. I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man. So cool, man. Do you have any other events lined up? Are you going to try and make a run for gold or higher?
Yeah, we're going to GP.
Or silver, I guess, or higher?
Yeah, me and my friends, we're going to GP Detroit. It's actually kind of crazy. On the way back from Orlando, my flight got delayed like 5 hours. So I was flying Spirit Airlines. So Spirit Airlines actually gave me $100 off my next flight. Mm-hmm. So when we go to GP Detroit, my flight is like $32. You know, so, yeah, it's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. So GP Detroit coming up, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you've played obviously a lot of Magic, not just at this event, but leading up to it and whatnot. So what would you say is the biggest mistake that you've seen players make?
let's see, the biggest mistake that I've seen players make. Honestly, like, and this is so hard to like not do because I've been there. We've all been there. It's just like not tilting. You know what I mean? Like you make a mistake, which it happens in the game of Magic. You know, you gotta, it's hard to play 100%, 100% of the time. The only thing is how you handle that mistake afterwards. You know what I mean? You gotta take a second, you gotta breathe, and you gotta be like, all right, I made a mistake. Let's deal with it and let's play tight the rest of the way. Because that is, I think that is the number one hardest thing to do. Like people always talk about being on tilt, and I think that is a real live thing, being on tilt. It's a thing that affects all, like even me, like all the time. You know what I mean?
So how do you handle it? How do you cope with it and, you know, move on without letting it affect your actions or detracting from the other player's experience?
You know, and it's hard. It's hard to do that. But what, I guess what I would say that what I do is, you know, I just got to stop, realize the mistake, and then breathe and calm down. And just like, because it's like, as soon as you realize you made that mistake, you know, you start thinking, you're like, oh my God, I cannot believe I made that mistake. Like, what am I doing? What's wrong with me? And, you know, and then you start like, you'll start shaking a little bit and you'll be, but then you got to stop. You got to calm down. You got to be like, okay, I've made a mistake. Play the rest of the game the way you're supposed to play it.
Yeah. So true. So true. And so one of the things that, you know, I love about Magic is how it really is like a microcosm of life. And there's so much that we can, you know, learn and glean from the game. And specifically, you know, MTG Pro Tutor, we love focusing on like sportsmanship, dedication, and respect, and how those pillars not only make us better Magic players, but make us, you know, better people. So what's the biggest growth you've experienced as a person from Magic?
So the biggest growth I would say as a person from Magic is trying to, Magic has really helped me handle losing. You know what I mean? Like in the game of Magic, you're going to lose sometimes. Like it's just going to happen. It's you know, no one's going to win every single match. It's never going to be like that.
Right.
So Magic has really taught me how to handle losing. It's okay to be salty. You know, you can be salty. It's going to happen. But how you handle that salt is really what matters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just take your loss like a champ, right? And so I think that I'm pretty good personally at just when I lose, just accepting my loss, shaking my opponent's hands, you know, and going and moving on to the next one.
Yeah. And I mean, has that come up in life, in non-Magic experiences?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, whether it's work or school or just, you know, interacting socially, like you got to learn to look at situations that are negative and kind of handle them to create positive things out of them. You know what I mean? By not overreacting, not getting too mad at certain things, you know, and that's a hard thing to do. It's not easy, but learning how to do it is important.
So Gabriel, what would you say is your best or your favorite format?
Definitely my, well, I would say my best format is Standard. Okay. That's where I've had all my success. You know, it's a lot less complicated. My favorite format, honestly, is Pauper. I love Pauper.
Oh, no way. That's cool. That's
yeah.
Cool.
Pauper is probably, I think it's kind of like, it's super affordable, first of all.
Yeah.
You know, if you're looking from all aspects of it, like, you know, you can build a deck for like $20, you know?
Right.
It's super, like, you can make it competitive. Like, you can definitely do a real competitive Pauper tournament, have a good metagame, stuff like that. And you can also play it casual. I think there's just like every aspect of it is really cool.
Cool. Yeah, that's, I mean, I know about it. I just haven't built my own little Pauper deck yet or done anything like that. So I know that there's some crazy cool stuff out there. So
There's some crazy cool stuff. Like there's super complicated stuff. You get to play with Gush and stuff like that, but you can also play like mono white heroic and still do very well. You know,
that's
cool.
That's cool. Yeah. So on the best format, on the standard one, let's kind of dial in on that a little bit. Let's talk about, you know, approaching Standard and getting some insights for people who might have a Standard event coming up. So we talked a little bit about specifically, you know, your event and whatnot, but when you are approaching a Standard event, what are you looking for? How are you evaluating the field? Like, take us through that experience for you.
Right. Well, it's tough. When I go to a Standard event, you know, sometimes you got to look, because usually there's a few of the best decks, whether whatever Standard metagame it is, like there's usually a few, like two or three maybe best decks. And you got to just, you know, you got to decide, like, do I play to beat these decks? Do I play these decks? You know what I mean? Like, what am I going to do? You know, and most of the time, honestly, I find it's better to just pick a deck that one of the best decks that you like, and then learn it a lot, kind of like I did with Blue White Approach, and just play it, you know, play it over and over again, get a lot of reps with it, and then just, you know, pick it, you choose it, right? And that's what I did. And I like to read the articles too on Star City Games or TCG Player or MTG Goldfish or wherever. And those help me out a lot too.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what resources do you turn to, and is those articles there?
Yeah, those articles help me out a lot. Those, as well as playtesting with my team, my friends, all that comes together to help me like choose the right deck. And and I'm never afraid to change decks either. Like, you know what I mean? If I'm running hot with blue white and something tells me that I shouldn't play it, I probably won't. The only thing that I try to stay away from is changing it the night before, I've definitely been there. Yeah. I've definitely been the guy who's changed the deck list at the last possible minute. And sometimes it works out, honestly. Sometimes it does pretty good, but it's not something I'd recommend.
Now, how are you planning to prepare for the Pro Tour?
For the Pro Tour, I'm going to really pay attention to the spoilers. We've already got some, obviously we've got some very powerful cards that are going to still be in standard whenever the new set comes out. Obviously Teferi, History of Benalia is another very powerful card. There's some cards that I think are powerful that maybe people haven't discovered yet. And depending on what comes out in the new Ravnica set, we'll determine that. But yeah, I'm going to wait for the spoilers to come out. We're going to make some proxies and we're going to be playtesting. And then I think we'll have, even when the cards come out, we'll have a little bit of time till the Pro Tour to test a little bit with actual cards.
And do you have a team or a group? Like, who are you going to be with?
Yeah, so I actually have, we're not like an official team, but I've got me and my friends, we made our own team. We're called Team Shark Week. And they actually made top 8 of the SCG Open in Dallas last weekend. I was there too. That's the guys who I play test with. They're really good guys.
Oh, that's so fun. That's cool.
Yeah.
So what do your playtesting sessions look like? How do you guys get the most value out of that?
Basically what we like to do is two things. Either we all build like a gauntlet. We all build like what we think are the best decks, mm-hmm. and we just, just jam games against each other, or we'll run through leagues on MTG on Magic Online, and we'll all sit around in front of a big TV and we'll like talk about the best plays or what we should sideboard depending on what it is or and stuff like that. And that usually helps us out a lot.
That's cool. I can see that being very beneficial, because those discussions, even if you're not the one playing, it really helps give insights to the game.
Exactly.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Well, sweet, man. So we're excited to see you go off and do great things. We love following past guests and watch them go on and continue to perform well. And you have some fun events coming up, including the Pro Tour. We wish you the best of luck with that. Sounds like you have a good plan to approach it and prepare and whatnot. And as far as Magic goes and thoughts and whatnot, any open floor to you, man? Like, anything particularly you want to talk about?
I would just say people who, I would just say Magic is just probably the best game I've ever played ever. Like, even my roommate that I'm with right now, I met him playing Magic. Honestly, I probably met my girlfriend through Magic, and just like Magic has had like a very positive influence on my life. So, if you're thinking about getting into Magic, or if you've got friends that you think would be into Magic, I would say push them to do it, man. It's been a lot of fun for me.
Cool. Bring them in. So I want to remind the Prodigy, if you want to connect with Gabriel, you can find him on Twitter at Gabriel Hoglar. And that's, just reach out, say thanks for being on the show, ask him a question, and then he'll be able to reach back to you there. And then, in addition to what you just said here, Gabriel, if we would like to leave on a last parting piece of guidance. So either something that you already said you want to emphasize, or something new you want to leave with us here at the end.
Yeah, I'll just emphasize on handle your salt. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay to be upset when you lose. Losing is part of the game, but just handle it correctly. That's the main thing.
Love it. And Gabriel, I want to acknowledge you for your contributions to Multiverse, and thank you so much for your time and for sharing your experiences with us today. I know I've learned a lot, and I can't wait to share it with the Prodigies. You are a hero among planeswalkers, and it's been a blast chatting with you. May you never be mana screwed. Always draw what you need and depart every plane victorious.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man.
Gabriel, thank you again for being a guest here on the show. Prodigies, if you want the show notes, you go to mtgpro2.com/Gabriel Hoglar is where you'll find a synopsis of what we talked about, as well as links, if any, to what may have been mentioned here on the show. And as we close things out, I want to congratulate Brooke Papau again for being the winner of the patron exclusive giveaway. Brooke will get a Commander 2018 deck provided by Paragon City Games. So thank you, Paragon City Games, for your support. And patrons, thank you for your support especially. That is what makes this show possible for sure. Whether you're headed to GP Detroit this weekend or not, I hope that you have fun playing Magic. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for tuning in and listening to this week's episode. It really means a lot to me. You can find me in the M19 Seal League, which is going on right now. And I really hope that if you aren't in this one, that you get to join us next time for sure. Other than that, keep casting, and I can't wait to connect with you again here real soon. Until next week, I'm Sean of The Gathering, and we will see you in the next cast.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery, be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content. Or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.